Thank you so much for being here for the evening service. You that are visiting, make yourselves at home. That's what I'm doing. And I'm a visitor, so that is allowed. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for the good music, Brother Holbrook. I grew up in a musical family. My mother was an excellent musician. In my young days, every time Stamps Baxter printed a book, she automatically received a copy. She would sit down and play every song in the book, hand you the book, and she could play them while you sung them. And you holding the book. She could play by music or play by ear, either way. So I grew up on that kind of music. I still love that kind of music. I'm thankful to God I know the difference in music and racket.
Yeah. Amen.
I say that with due respect, but I do know the difference.
Yeah.
And I thoroughly enjoy good music. I do have a low tolerance, though, for racket. I'm reading from the book of Hebrews tonight, chapter 13. And I will only read two verses for our opening reading. And we are going to consider only one of those. We're thinking together in these days of meeting about the general theme of Christian guidance for crisis situations. What should a Christian do when we face a crisis? Hebrews 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Evidently, that's a reason why that's first. Probably the rest of what's in this section rests upon that foundation. Let brotherly love continue. I'm not going to re-preach this morning's message. That'll comfort some of you. But I read something years ago to this effect. To dwell above with the saints in love, oh, that will be glory. But to dwell below with the saints we know. Now that's another story. That's not the way it's supposed to be. So we want to keep that in mind. I wonder what the biggest problem between Cain and Abel was. They were brothers, weren't they? I wonder what their big problem was. I think it might be something like what we're talking about here, a lack of. A lack of brotherly love. I wonder what the difference in the father of the prodigal son and the elder brother of the prodigal son was. You guessed it. A lack of brotherly love. Now let's look, if you will, at verse number 2. This is going to be our focus this evening. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. May I remind you, the word is some have. Not all, but some have entertained angels unawares. If you're keeping an outline of our messages this week, verse number one, what should Christians do in a time of crises? Keep a tender heart. Don't become calloused by the crises. Learn to practice forgiveness. Learn to prioritize faithfulness and learn to put others first. Let brotherly love continue. Now tonight's emphasis, not only are we to keep a tender heart, but we are to engage in thoughtful hospitality. There is evidence in this verse that the people being addressed in this book might have become reclusive. They might have allowed the crises to turn them inward rather than being turned outward. It's never a good thing when we turn inward and begin to think primarily of ourselves, our safety, our situation. That is never a good position to be in. I'm not saying that there shouldn't be times when we are alone or when we just spend time with the Lord in seclusion. Yes, there's time for that, but that is not to be the Christian posture. Not the Christian pattern. Christian people are turned outward. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be, let me live for others that I might live like thee.
Amen.
Engage. Don't withdraw. Engage in thoughtful hospitality. Now, I'm going to read several scriptures pertaining to this same idea, somewhat like I did in the morning service. Turn, if you will, to the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. We're going to look at these scriptures, then we're going to see some illustrations from the scriptures themselves. Romans chapter 12, and I'm reading now from verse number 15. Romans 12 and verse 15. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. What is hospitality? By the way, if you don't know this, Mississippi is the hospitality state. How many of you have ever heard of Southern hospitality? Amen. Somehow or another, when I think of Southern hospitality, I think of biscuits and gravy.
Yeah.
Anybody know anything about that? I'm going to find something in common with you somehow. I keep guessing. Hospitality. Hospitality. To be given to hospitality is the unique ability to make someone who isn't at home feel as if they were at home. I've been to some places in preaching where I was a stranger when I arrived and remained a stranger while there, and I'm still a stranger now. That's a predicament, isn't it? God's people are to be given to hospitality. I have the persuasion that your pastor and his family are given to hospitality. I believe this church is given to hospitality. Your fine host, never been in a better room, never had better meals. Thank you for being good to us. God's people are to be given to hospitality.
Amen.
Now, let's read another verse. Let's read from the book of Romans chapter 16. I think I might have quoted a little of this morning. Romans 16, verse number 3. Paul sends greetings to two people very dear to him. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. But who are they? My helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. These people gave the Apostle Paul a job. How many of you remember the first person who ever gave you a job away from home?
Yeah.
Down where I was raised, we always had a job. You know, we were raised on a farm. How many know what a cow is? Anybody know how to milk? Anybody here knows where butter comes from? How you get it? Now, if you live on a farm, you've always got a job. You have job security. You don't have to look for a job. My daddy could find more things to do than you could ever possibly get done. Of course, he operated off the philosophy. He said, son, I'm not just raising cattle and corn. I'm raising boys. There is value to keeping boys and young ladies busy. Priscilla and Aquila gave Paul a job. What did he need a job for? To finance his ministry. Paul was a bivocational fellow. He helped Priscilla and Aquila make tents at night where he could go to the marketplace and preach the gospel in the daytime. I've been advising young preachers for about the last 30 years. Keep your day job. Two reasons. It'll be good for you. It'll be good for your family. Reason number two is you're living in a time frame where many churches are no longer going to tolerate Bible preaching. They love entertainment, but they don't really have a very good taste for just Bible preaching. And because of that, you're going to need a day job to finance your ministry if you intend to keep preaching. I don't think that's bad advice. So Priscilla and Aquila are said to have laid down their own necks. They gave. They sacrificed in order to be a helper to the Apostle Paul. They were very hospitable people. I'll talk a little more about them a little bit later on in the message. I want to read a verse from the book of 3 John. We don't talk about 3 John very much, so I'm going to read a verse there. 3 John, verse number 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Now, if you notice carefully this morning's text, it was about the brethren. Let brotherly love continue. Tonight, we're expanding. We're going outside the family. We're going outside of the realm of people we know. Strangers. Our society is a society that has different views about strangers. Lots of times with our brothers, we're okay. With our sisters, we're okay. But with a stranger, we look with suspicion. I remember one time I was in Tewksbury, Veracruz, Old Mexico. We're on a mission detail there. Some of the guys had never seen the marketplace, so I took them downtown to see the marketplace. If you've never been to a market in Old Mexico, by all means, if you ever go, please go to a market. It'll be an experience for you. I won't describe it, you might not go. I had been several times, so I just sat down on the front steps. The guys went in, they were looking around and having their time there, and a guy came out and sat down by me. Every once in a while, I'd just look this way and look that way. He finally said to me, he said, "You must be a stranger." I said, "See." I look again, he said, "What you looking for?" I said, "Nothing in particular." "Oh," he said, "this is a safe place. You don't have to be afraid. This is a safe place." I reached right behind me. Iron bars everywhere on every window and every door. I reached and got one. I said, "Is that why this is here?" I said, "This is not my first time down here. I like to know who's coming. I like to see them before they get here." Yeah. Huh? I have a little apprehension about that. Don't you? I tell you how we've gotten to where it's kind of daresome to knock on the front door if you haven't called who's inside. That's true even down where I live. I mean, it really is. Some of the larger cities, and I'm going to assume some in the Knoxville area, the Clinton area, have communities that you are not allowed to visit the house unless you already know someone on the inside. But you don't go inside that gated community if you're a stranger. You go up to houses nowadays, and we have to unlock 8 locks to let you in. And uncock nobody but God knows how many pistols. We're all on guard. We're all looking around. Do you think it wasn't something like that in biblical days? Why do you think that guy going down from Jerusalem to Jericho was laying in the ditch, beat half dead, robbed, and all of that? You say, but people, things are bad nowadays. They're not really any worse than they used to be. We're hearing about it a lot more.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
We're a lot more aware of it. And what it has done to many of us, it's turned us inward. Help me a little bit, nod your head. It's literally turned us inward. I mean, if you can't say amen, at least nod your head. You're telling the truth. Be not forgetful. Why would he say that? That's a negative. Why would he say that? We have a tendency to be forgetful, to show hospitality.
That's right.
The strangers. Now, I want to talk a little bit about another word in the text. He not only used the word strangers, but he says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, thereby some have entertained angels. Unaware. Meaning, they were angels, but it wasn't known at the time that they were angels. Now, this word angel is an interesting word. Every letter written to each church in the book of the Revelation is technically addressed to the angel. Now, the word angel can mean messenger.
Yeah.
I personally think that's what it does mean in those letters. Messenger to the church at Ephesus. Messenger to the church at Thyatira. All the churches had a messenger. I believe God has a messenger to every church. And that messenger primarily is the pastor that God's put there.
Amen.
There are other teachers that are there. There are others who may join in that ministry from time to time and be a voice for God to that church. But the primary messenger is the pastor.
Amen.
But when you look at that definition of the term angel, it doesn't exactly fit this text. Something is being talked about in this text that involves someone who is not human. You're going to always be aware when a person is there. Right? But you might not always be aware of everything about that person.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to get spooky with you. Wouldn't do you that way at all. If I wanted to spook you, I'd just take my glasses off, say boo. But I want to just take you to some passages of scripture where some things happened, and there was more happening than met the eye. Be turning to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. Book of Genesis, chapter 18. Again, this is an account involving the man Abraham. I used him this morning as an illustration, so I'm working in them again tonight. Genesis chapter 18, verse 1. There's a giveaway in verse 1. I'm going to see if you catch it. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet. Rest yourselves under the tree. I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. And after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. Does Abraham look afraid? He knows something about hospitality, doesn't he? Now, what do you think about his behavior? Well, he said, I'll get water for you. I'll get bread for you. You go on and read the entire account. And you'll find out they had meat, they had a meal, and they shared that together. That's a lot about hospitality. The issue is, who in the world was it? Verse 1 is the giveaway. The Lord appeared. What did he appear as? A man. Do you think Abraham recognized it was the Lord? That's the way he addressed him. I don't think he was expecting it. But he had a heart of hospitality. You know, sometimes the Lord comes to us in ways and we don't recognize them. This is a little humorous. This will wake some of you up. They said when Hurricane Katrina came through New Orleans, how many of you remember that? 2005, September. So there was a guy lived in a district and they had told him, get out, get out, get out. They'd hauled everybody out they could chase down, and this guy was determined he's going to stay with his house. The water began to rise, and he climbed up. He finally cut a hole in the ceiling, went up in the attic, and the water started coming up in the attic. He kicked part of the top off, went out on the top, was on the very ridge. Some guys come by in a boat and said, hey, we're going to get up close. You just come down and get in the boat. I mean, the water was high as the roof. All he had to do was step in the boat. Oh, he said, no, the Lord will take care of me. After a while, that chopper came by. They let down the rope and said, grab the rope. We'll take you to safe. Oh, the Lord's going to take care of me. Boy, when the water got up over the cone of that house, the guy was about chest deep. He said, help, Lord. Lord. Somebody said the Lord hollered back and said, son, I come by twice and you didn't want to go with me.
Yeah.
That's a little humorous, but sometimes the Lord may appear different than what we think.
Yeah.
Engage in thoughtful hospitality. Think about who you're seeing. Think about who you're meeting. Boy, a lot of times you meet someone you've never seen them before in your life. But a lot comes out of relationships sometimes. It's amazing what God does and how He does it. Now, you can turn the page when you get home, and you can read about another encounter. Lot had an encounter, similar encounter. You can read about encounters that Jacob had. You remember his first night away from home? You know, Jacob did have a brother, older brother. Jacob was a pet. He is the guy that is always hanging on his mama's apron strings while she's baking bread. His first night away from home, he lay down over there, put his head on the rock. Somebody come to see him in the middle of the night. Y'all remember that? He woke up the next morning. What he saw was a ladder going from earth to heaven, and angels of God ascending and descending upon that ladder. He woke up the next morning and he made this announcement: surely the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not. I want to tell you something about the Lord. I don't know how He's going to come to you, but I promise you, you won't see Him coming. You won't see Him until He's going.
Yep.
Now, I can give you another illustration. You remember when Joshua was marching around the city of Jericho? All of a sudden, somebody appeared on the wall. Wall of the city. Joshua looked up, and the guy had a sword drawn. Joshua said, hey, are you for us or for our adversaries? The one on the wall said, no, meaning neither one. I'm the captain of the host of the Lord. Dr. McCarley used to translate that like this: I didn't come to take sides, I come to take over. It's a good day when people realize who ought to take over.
Yeah, yes. Amen. Yes.
Captain of the host of the Lord. One of the great titles of God in the Old Testament is Lord of Hosts. That means Lord of Armies. That means whatever armies are in the territory, He can commandeer them and make them His and make them do what He wants them to do, whether they like it or don't. Now that'll bring you more comfort than you can contain if you'll digest that a little bit. I still believe He is absolutely still the captain of the host of the Lord. I don't get to preach Christmas sermons much anymore. Usually I listen to my pastor on Christmas. I think if I ever preach another Christmas sermon, I'm going to preach it from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Here's what it says. And thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. You do understand Bethlehem was not the beginning of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God.
Yes, yes.
Having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Eternal Son of God, you say, explain that. No explanation for it. It's just that.
Yeah.
This text said, his goings forth have been of old, even from everlasting. You study your Bible and you have what we technically call in theology as theophanies. What are they? They are pre-incarnate appearances of Christ. What am I suggesting? I'm suggesting that it was Jesus at Abraham's house, accompanied by at least two other angelic beings. Jesus. Who was at Lot's house? Same one.
Yeah.
Who was it? Ascending and descending. Who was it there where Jacob rested? Same one. Who is the captain of the host of the Lord? None other than Jesus Christ. Amen. Tremendous thought to just study those in Scripture. Oftentimes in your Old Testament, the term the angel of the Lord is employed. Study the life of Samson's parents. They had an encounter with him. They called him wonderful. Sounds like Isaiah the prophet, doesn't it? Well, I want to put you in a situation, give you a little illustration, and then I have a little personal illustration I want to give, and I'm going to be finished. I'm turning to the book of the Acts of the Apostles again, chapter 18, Acts of the Apostles. I've already read scriptures about Priscilla and Aquila, people whom Paul said were his helpers in Christ. Paul is not the only one they helped. I'm reading in the 18th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. When he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Now, before I comment on that encounter, I want to read a little bit from Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25, verse 12. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Now think about the scripture that I read about Apollos. He had many commendable traits. He was very eloquent. He had mastered the language. Alexandria was the seat of learning in that part of the world. He prepared himself, but he was still limited in his understanding. Priscilla and Aquila was in the congregation. He came to Ephesus. He brought a message. They picked up on the fact, this fellow needs some encouragement. Now, I'm going to assume some things, so don't ask me to prove it after church. I can't. The Bible simply says they took him. They took him. And they explained to him the way of God more perfectly, more completely. You see, Apollos' understanding of things stopped with the ministry of John the Baptist. He just didn't grasp anything past that. Good at what but he just needed some help. Now, Brother Alvis, I'm going to assume this. Is that all right with you? Checking with you. You look like a pretty big fella to me. So I'm checking with you. It might have happened like this. When church is over, Priscilla and Aquila might have waited somewhere near the door. And when Apollos came on his way out, they might have said something like this, "Brother Apollos, that's good today. We appreciate what you had to say. We'd like to invite you to our house for lunch." Wise counselor. Maybe they were sitting down enjoying that meal together, and Priscilla or Aquila won. We're not told which. Took the initiative and began to ask questions to draw Apollos out in his understanding. I don't know exactly how it happened, but I know this. Apollos had an obedient ear. And God seemed to him that he'd gotten the presence of a wise counselor. And boy, I believe as long as Apollos lived, he had to think about. You know, there was more people in that house than Priscilla and Aquila. I wonder who else was at that table. Oh, you might not have seen him with your eye, but he is there. Woo! Bless the Lord. The people were sensitive. Hey, there's somebody I can help. And are hospitable. I mean, if there's not a situation where they can, they'll create one. Right? You understand what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Now, I wonder who you're going to see this week. I wonder how we ought to respond. Travel is something else. Somebody asked me one time, what is an evangelist? I said, it's a preacher not good enough to keep a church. That's what it is. 2 or 3 years ago, back when we traveled in motorhome, it was on the Saturday after Thanksgiving. We were en route to the huge metropolis of Powderly, Kentucky. None of you know where that is, do you? Powderly, Kentucky. It's down the road from Central City. Check you out a little further. It's home of James T. Best. Anybody know it? Nobody knows James T. Best. I'm going to try his other name on you and see if you know him. Roscoe P. Coltrane. See, I caught you, didn't I? You watched him too. Well, I wasn't going to see him, but he did live there. We were in Martin, Tennessee, which is over in West Tennessee. Saturday after Thanksgiving. Now it was cold. That year it was cold. I mean bitter cold. Sunshiny, but cold. We left Union, Mississippi early that morning. Motorhome had given trouble all morning. I'd already stopped twice to try to correct the problem and still having problems. I wheeled up on the 4-lane and started out, and all of a sudden I lost power. I went off the right side of the road, thank God, instead of the wrong. Got out of the lane of traffic. And before I ever come to a stop, I noticed on the approaching, the lanes on the other 2 lanes, coming my direction, there was a wrecker. About the time I was stopping, he turned his lights on. I didn't see anything he was going after on that side. Went down past me and found a suitable place, went down in the median, came back up, and pulled over and parked right in front of my coach. He immediately got out of the wrecker. Walked back. I hadn't even got out of the motor home yet. He knocked on the door. I said, hang on just a minute. I'll be with you. I opened the door. My wife let me out. And she shut the door. And he said, mister, you seem to be in trouble. I said, you got that right. I'm in trouble. I told him what I had done. He said, that's okay. He said, I'm a diesel mechanic with Kellogg's in Jackson, Tennessee. I'd like to help you if I could. He said, see if it'll start. I went back and hit the starter. Fuel was flying everywhere. He said, I see your problem. In about 10 minutes, he had the part off that had blown to pieces. A fuel sensor on the main line had blown to pieces. And he said, if I can find one of these, I can get you back on the road. Everything will be fine. For 3 hours, this is Saturday after Thanksgiving. Nobody's open. For 3 hours, he called people. He came inside the coach. We still had the furnace running. Think we made some coffee and whatever else. Sipped coffee. He tried to find the part. He couldn't find the part. Finally, he said, I've called my son. He's going to come pick me up. I'll take this part and I'll fix it and get you on the way. A few minutes, little white car pulled in behind the coach. He went and got in the car, left the wrecker sitting there running with the lights on. About 30 minutes, he came back. Within 10 minutes, he had the part back on. Everything hooked back up. He said, see if it'll start. It stopped. He said, did your gauges go crazy? I said, crazy as bats are doing this. He said, that won't hurt them. They'll be fine. But they probably won't get straightened out till you get a new part. But I guarantee you, you'll get the powdery. Be careful. Yeah, I gave the man some money. I got his name. I got his phone number. He called me 3 times between that point and my arrival at Powderly, Kentucky after dark to be sure I was getting there. On Monday, I ordered a new part, and by Wednesday it was in, and I called him. He said, call me, let me know when you get the part. I called him. He said, if you can find me when you come back through Martin, I'll put it on for you. If not, I told him where we were going next stop. I have an uncle that lives there. Call him. He'll put it on. I've never been able to get that man to answer the phone again. I've tried at Christmas. And at different times in the year, I want to do something special for him and his family at Christmas that year. If I could get a hold of him and get a mailing address or anything or any connection, I can't find him anywhere. What I'm trying to tell you is, there was somebody there besides him.
Amen.
It's not important to know. I've still got his name. But I know who was there.
Amen.
Yeah. Be careful. Don't be forgetful. Lord may be with somebody you meet this week. Be careful how you treat them.
Amen.
Engage in thoughtful hospitality.
Good.
Thoughtful hospitality. This is how Christians are to behave in a crisis. Brother John?